Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 21 through 23. And considering evangelism. Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. Give attention to God's word. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now into the preaching of your word. We ask that you would give us energy and strength, but most importantly, your Holy Spirit, to anoint us during this time and to bless this ordinance of preaching for our edification and building us up in our most holy faith. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I had the privilege of getting to know a Finnish man. Now, this Finnish fellow was not actually from Finland. He was from the UP of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. If any of you have spent time up there, you'll know that half of the towns up there are Swedish, the other half is Finnish, and they have a lot of fun in the cold. One of the fun things that the Finns do in the cold is they build saunas. Sauna is actually a Finnish word, and the practice of sauna is a Finnish thing. Now, what this gentleman told me, I didn't realize this, but he told me that sauna, doing this thing, is not just sitting in the house and getting hot and sweaty. That's the first part. The second part of doing a sauna is running out of the house and jumping into the freezing lake. You have to do both to do it the Finnish way. Now, we might look at that and say, well, that's nice for you Finns. We're not going to do that here. But when you understand the point of this practice, getting hot and sweaty and then diving into a freezing cold lake, you'll understand why they do this. This friend of mine told me that when you do this, it's like all of your senses get dialed up to 11. The colors become brighter. Your body feels stronger after you thaw out. And he said it's an exhilarating experience. You really have to do it. Well, we know now that the reason Finns do that kind of thing, the reason Russians will let their children play in the snow with nothing on but a smile, is because these practices in cold climates help the blood to flow. They open up your blood vessels and they cause the blood to flow more freely than it would normally. Now, if any of you have any medical knowledge, you'll know the source of all of your physical problems are because your blood is not doing what it's supposed to do. It's either not getting where it needs to be, or there's too much of it pooling where it shouldn't be. Ultimately, everything comes down to blood flow. And if we can get the blood to flow where it should, the body will be healthy. The body of Christ is the same way. The body of Christ, which is knit together of all the various members of the church, depends upon the flow of the lifeblood of the church. And the lifeblood of the church is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of salvation and acceptance in Christ is what keeps the church healthy. Now, as you know, evangelism is spreading the gospel. That's what the word means, spreading the good news. We often, though, think of evangelism in the more restricted sense of going out and seeking to convert the unbeliever. That's a specific type of evangelism. That's ordinarily what we're talking about when we talk about evangelism. But what I want to show you from this passage is that there's a broader sense of evangelism. There is a broader idea of spreading the gospel of Christ within the body of Christ that keeps the body of Christ healthy. And we're going to see two things in this passage. Verses 21 and 22, the gospel within the body, and verse 23, the gospel from the source of the body. Verses 21 and 22, the gospel within the body, and verse 23, the gospel from the source of the body. And so we begin in verse 21, and Paul, he's concluding this letter the way he concludes almost all of his letters, except Ephesians, interestingly, where he sends greetings to the church. And he tells the church, greet one another. In this passage, he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're like me, sometimes we come to the end of Paul's letters and we tend to glaze over a little bit. We've read these great statements that he makes about Christ and the church and our salvation, and we come to this part and we think, oh, well, this is just a nice little end to the letter. There's not really a whole lot here for us, and we move on with our lives. But we need to remember that this is part of Holy Scripture. This is part of the inspired canon. There is a lesson for us and for our lives, and there's a very practical application of what Paul has said in the letter to the Philippians that you can engage in right now, and that's evangelizing one another. He says, greet one another. Say hello to one another. Extend your hand and shake one another's hands. Give your friends in the church a hug. Greet one another and greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, why does he say to do this? Why does he say to greet one another? Well, why does Walmart put greeters at the door when people walk in? Why do hotels have receptionists to greet people as they walk into the hotel? Why do restaurants have greeters at the booth when you walk into the restaurant? Because a greeting makes you feel welcome. When you're greeted, you feel like you're a part of this thing. Now, in Walmart, in the hotel, in the restaurant, that's a business transaction. In the Church of Christ, this is a gospel transaction. Greeting one another as members of the church is one of the ways that we spread the gospel to one another. We remind one another that you are accepted in Christ. You belong here. You are a part of this church. You are welcome and you belong here, and this is the gospel, isn't it? The gospel message of Jesus Christ is not, you're a guilty sinner, you need to be ashamed. That's part of it. But the greater part, the gospel part, is that even though you're a sinner, in Christ, you're welcome. You belong in the church. You belong in God's house because of Christ. God greets us when he invites us into his house. That's why we do the apostolic greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. And so when you greet one another, you're spreading the gospel to one another. How often, I know we've heard this, you've experienced this, you've probably heard this. You hear reputations of churches, they've got good doctrine, they've got decent music, they've got subpar carpets, but they're not very friendly. They don't greet you when you come in. We've all heard that about churches. Now, at one level, we can say, well, that's, you know, you need to get over that and be more doctrinal. If the preaching is good, you should go there. Yeah, that's true. But if the greetings are not warm, we can ask, is the gospel really alive there? Are the people in that church really affected with the love of God in Christ? Do they even feel welcome in the church if they're not willing to welcome others into the church. And so Paul says, greet every saint. But notice also, he doesn't just say greet. He says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we see the dynamic that I described of the lifeblood of the church. Ephesians 4, verse 15. It's hard to break into this. This is one of Paul's big sentences. Ephesians 4, start at verse 14. The purpose of Christ's gifts are that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, but in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every member of the body, every joint of the body of Christ, the thing that all of us supply to the rest of the body is the truth spoken in love, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spread it throughout the body according to our various positions, and it is by spreading that truth that the body grows unto the edification of itself in love. Well, now we go back to Philippians 4. What does Paul say? Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, here is a truth that you need. In Christ Jesus, you are a saint. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you are set apart for God's special service. In Christ, you are holy. You have been made acceptable through Christ, and in Christ Jesus, you are a saint. See, what Paul is saying here is not greet every saint in a Jesus Christ type of greeting. That's not the point. What Paul is saying is greet everyone who believes in Christ and is set apart as holy. Greet all of the saints who are saints through faith in Christ. This is how we're to regard one another. This is how we're to look at one another if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might be saying, Pastor, I'm a sinner. So am I. I've done wicked things. So have I. I fail daily in my Christian walk. So do I. That's why Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, not saints who are saints in their own strength. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision. Those who are in Christ Jesus are the set apart ones. You know what the point of circumcision was? The point of circumcision was to set apart Israel for God's service. They are the ones who had sin removed sacramentally through circumcision, and they were holy in God's sight. They were the accepted ones. They had special privileges with God that no one else had. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Do you worship God spiritually? Do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? Do you have no confidence in your flesh? That means your own wisdom. That means your own power. That means your own righteousness. Do you have no confidence in the flesh? Well, Paul reminds us, in Christ, you are saints. You are holy. You have been set apart by God to show forth the praises of Him. You know, the term saints in both the Old and New Testaments, we sometimes misunderstand what the word saint means. We think of it as somebody who is super spiritual, like one of the Roman Catholic saints. In the Bible, the saints means one of two things. It either means the angels in heaven or the church on earth. Now you may think, why are angels called saints and why is the church on earth called saints? Because the angels in heaven and the church on earth both have the same privilege, beholding the glory of God and worshiping Him for it. The descriptions of heaven are that God is surrounded by all of these angels praising Him. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The description of the church on earth, full of God's saints, is that they gather around Him and praise Him for His great work in Christ. Now we need to ask ourselves a question. Paul says to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The purpose of the gospel is to make saints. The goal of the gospel is to make people holy. The purpose of the gospel is not to do away with holiness. The gospel does not come to us and say, holiness doesn't matter. The gospel comes to us and says, holiness matters more than you can imagine. And in Christ, you can partake of it. How do you understand the gospel? Are you seeking to be holy in Christ? If you're not seeking holiness, you're not believing the gospel. If you're not motivated to be holy by the love of God in Christ, if the joy of Jesus doesn't push you to get rid of your sins, you may have believed a false gospel. Because Paul says we are to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Well, not only does he tell us to greet every saint, he says all of the brethren who are with him greet you. He goes even further to describe the church. Not only are we saints, but in Christ we are also brethren. We're a family. We who are here in Christ, united to Him by faith, are more closely united than our own blood relatives. And this is part of spreading the gospel. Really, if you want to understand what Paul's doing here, he's encouraging us to encourage one another in the benefits of the gospel. As Paul will say, or as good theologians have said, the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His benefits. The gospel is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His work on the cross, resurrection and ascension, and all the benefits that come out of that. We saw this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. What things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. The end of verse 8, I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ, and in gaining Christ, I gain all of His benefits. Here is one of the benefits. These are all your brothers and sisters. You have a family that has more in common than your own blood kin. Now, that's a powerful truth that will bind you together in love and to build one another up, as Paul says in Ephesians 4. I know many of you have unbelieving family members. You have parents that are not godly examples. You have children that may be wandering from the faith. You have all kinds of blood kin who are not Christians. And what it can feel like is, as a Christian, when you're with them, you're not with them. Because their hearts are somewhere else your heart is with the Lord. Here, in Christ, even though we don't have the same eye color, even though we don't have the same laugh, even though we don't have the same hair color or the same experiences, we have more in common because our hearts have Christ in common. So Paul says, all the brethren who are with me greet you. Do you look at one another as brothers and sisters? Do you regard one another as siblings in the Lord? It's easy for us to get tripped up on this, isn't it? Notice that Paul doesn't say, greet the ones that you like. Greet the ones that make you laugh. Greet the ones that you get along with. And it's okay if you don't greet the ones you have a grudge against. It's okay if you don't greet the ones that may have given you a cold shoulder. He says, greet all of the saints in Christ Jesus. All of the brethren greet you. Now let's apply this also to our marriages. Husbands, this is how you're going to love your wife. Let me change that. This is how you have to love your wife. By greeting her as a saint in Christ Jesus. Look at what Peter says in chapter 3. Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter is telling husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, husbands, if we're honest, it's often hard to see our wives as saints, isn't it? Wives, I know it's hard to see us as saints. I'm not talking to you right now. It's hard to see our wives as saints. But this is why Paul says, greet all of the saints in Christ Jesus, and dwell with your wife with understanding as an heir together with you of the grace of life. Does your wife believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Does she want to obey him? And does she repent when she needs to repent? Is your wife a Christian? All right, then husband, you are to regard her as an heir of the grace of life. The question is not, is she one of the elect? That's not our business. The question is, does she profess the true religion, and does she try to live a life of obedience to that religion? Well, then husbands, you need to give her honor as an heir of the grace of life. Notice also, husbands, this one will turn your blood cold. If we don't do this, your prayers will be hindered. You see what he says in verse 7? If you don't dwell with understanding with your wife and give honor to her as to the weaker vessel, being an heir together of the grace of life, your prayers will be hindered. What does that mean? That means you'll pray and it will bounce right off the ceiling. You will pour out your heart to the Lord, perhaps repenting of your sins, perhaps asking for mercies. But if you are bitter and not honoring your wife as a fellow saint, your prayers won't go anywhere. And if your prayers don't go anywhere, your life is not worth living. Your leadership is not worth engaging in. Your headship is pointless. Because we can't lead our families without prayer. We can't be husbands without prayer. So Paul says, greet all of the saints in Christ Jesus. So in Ephesians 4:21, he says we're saints. He says we're brothers. And then in verse 22, he says that these things don't overturn our natural relationships. Look at what he says here. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Now, this is a very interesting statement that Paul makes. You remember that the book of Philippians is written to Roman veterans. Philippi was a colony, and a colony was a place where legionary veterans would be given estates, and a city would be founded, and it would be populated by veterans of the Roman legions. Paul is writing from Caesar's household. We learned that in the beginning of the letter. And it talks about the chains. Lost the reference. Anyhow, it's in chapter 1. You know what I'm referring to, hopefully. Pardon me for that. But then he says here at the end of the letter, all the saints who are in Caesar's household send greetings to you. Now, who are these who are of Caesar's household? These could have been officials, bureaucrats, Roman senators, probably not senators, probably the Praetorian Guard. These are fellow soldiers, fellow legionaries who have become Christians through the ministry of Paul. You remember at the end of the book of Acts, Paul is imprisoned and he has a legionary chained to him. If that legionary didn't become a Christian, I'm not sure what the point of preaching is. You're chained to Paul the Apostle. I'm sure he preached to him constantly. Well, these members of Caesar's household are probably his household guard, members of the Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Guard would have been like Roman special forces. They were the personal bodyguard of the Caesar, and they followed him all around. These were military men. These were men that had shared the experiences that the men in Philippi had shared. And they, knowing that Paul is writing to their brothers in arms, send their greetings. And notice what he says, all the saints greet you, but especially those of Caesar's household. Especially these Roman legionaries want to greet you. There is a natural affinity that soldiers have for one another. There's a bond that comes through combat that you cannot replace with anything else. And it's because of this bond of combat, they have an affection for the Philippians, which is intensified by the gospel. These legionaries especially want to greet you, because not only are you Christians, you're fellow Romans. And we love you Romans, we love you Christian Romans even more. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Paul is speaking about the judgment of God against a decadent society. And one of the things that God gives a decadent society over to, or several of the things, are detailed in verses 28 through 32. He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. He says in another place in this chapter that they are without natural affection. And natural affection in Greek is a word that is storge. Storge is a natural affection that we have for those that are of the same kind. That's what you see at the end of Philippians. Those of Caesar's household are fellow Romans, and they're greeting their fellow Romans as Romans, but also as Christians. And these two things are not contrary. Now, why do I point this out? Why am I highlighting this here? There are many who teach you that loving your own is contrary to the gospel. Loving your own family, loving your own countrymen, loving your own people is somehow contrary to the gospel. There are many who will say that because of these benefits of Christ, your saints and your brethren, you need to forsake your brothers after the flesh. That's not what Paul is describing. In fact, hating your own family, your own countrymen, being without natural affection is one of the signs of God's judgment. Paul shows us here that the grace of the gospel does not cause us to hate our own. In fact, it causes us to love our own even more intensely. Now let me apply that. What am I saying here? Paul in Romans 9 will say that I have a great desire for the Israelites who are my brothers after the flesh. John Knox prayed and said, "Give me Scotland or I die." John Knox was Scottish. He loved the Scottish. Today, many will tell you that loving your country is contrary to the gospel and is sinful. Well, we see here, it's not contrary to the gospel. You can love your country because your country is a natural thing. It's a good thing. God caused you to be born here. He caused you to grow up here. And through the grace of the gospel, one of the benefits of the gospel is he redeems your country and makes it lovable. And so these members of Caesar's household send their greetings to the saints of Philippi. Well, not only does the gospel get spread around within the body, the gospel also has to be spread from the source of the body. That's what Paul does in verse 23. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Paul, at the end of this letter and in this verse, is acting as a minister, and he's pronouncing a benediction. He's saying to the Philippian church, be blessed with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and receive his grace. How do you receive the gospel from Christ? Well, we get it from the scriptures. We get it from the apostles, which is recorded in the scriptures. But you also get it from the ministers. Paul is acting as a pastor here. He's performing a ministerial function. And he's telling the church, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, we see what's known as the Aaronic blessing. Numbers chapter 6, the Lord spoke unto Moses. Verse 22. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." This benediction or blessing can only be performed by the sons of Aaron. Notice that Moses is talking to Aaron and his sons. And he tells Aaron and his sons, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. By raising your hands and repeating these words to them. And notice that the words that Aaron is told to repeat find their fulfillment in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians? God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, has shined upon us with his own glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. What does grace mean? Grace is God's favor, God's acceptance, God's unmerited favor. And by the shining of his face upon you, God is gracious to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Prince of Peace. To have peace with God and peace from God, it comes through the Lord Jesus. But now look at the end of the verse. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Aaron is commanded to pronounce this benediction, and the Lord says, when they pronounce this benediction, I will send my blessing with it. You need the gospel to live. The gospel is your lifeblood. And the way that you receive the gospel from its source is through the ordained ministry. It's through the preaching of the apostolic gospel. So what's the practical cash value of that? You need to be in public worship. I'm thankful that you are. I'm thankful that our worship services are growing. You need to be under the ordained preaching of the word, not because you earn any merit with it, not because it makes you a better Christian than those Christians over there, but because as Paul pronounces this benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, amen, God through the minister puts his name on you, and when his name is put on you, his blessing follows. You need to receive the gospel from the source. Just as you need to receive blood from the heart. But when blood leaves the heart, it has to flow through the right channel. That's how it gets where it needs to go. And so Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Well, we've seen that spreading the gospel is not just going out to the unbeliever and trying to convert them. Spreading of the gospel is speaking the truth in love among the members of the body. You need the gospel to live spiritually. You need to be reminded that in Christ you're a saint. In Christ you have a vast family with more in common than your blood kin. And in Christ, God blesses you. Without the blessing of God, the spiritual life is pointless. But with the blessing of God, the body of Christ and you as members of the body of Christ grow and edify one another in love by speaking the gospel to one another. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and the gospel that he has given to us. We pray that you would enable us to see one another as saints and to greet one another accordingly and to love one another even as brothers and sisters. Help us to see one another in Christ even as you see us. And we pray, O Lord, that you would send your blessing to us through the Lord Jesus, that you would put your name upon us and bless us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.